7.5 million college graduates are entering the workforce this summer. A number of the so-called new first-tier cities are rolling out red carpet treatment in order to snatch up young talent. First of all, let's clarify the terms. What makes first-tier cities, and what are the new first-tier cities?
Well, for our Chinese listeners, probably this is very clear that Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou, and Shenzhen are the first-tier cities in China. But for our overseas listeners, this might be a vague kind of a concept. Because, you know, these four megacities, they are huge, they are large with population GDP contribution to the country. And industries in these four cities are also more competitive. For example, the Shanghai GDP contribution is about 1.5 trillion yuan in 2016. It's a kind of 6.8% growth compared with 2015. And the population is 25.15 million. Can you imagine how big it is? And Beijing also has a population of 21.68 million people. And the contribution of GDP is 2.3 trillion yuan. So it's huge. And Guangzhou and Shenzhen also with more than 10 million people. And GDP growth also very big. So for, you know, roughly in China, there are 170 Chinese cities, which have more than 1 million residents. But only these four cities are considered as first tier in terms of size and per capita gross domestic product. And also, for example, according to the figures released by the U.S. Commercial Service, 14 of China's second-tier cities account for 54% of the total import from the U.S., and many of these cities are quickly developing new industries and attention-getting enterprises. Also, 15 cities have joined the club of China's new first-tier cities due to their commercial charm. So in the past, some cities were called second-tier cities. Now, some very fast-developing cities in China have been called as new-tier cities in recent years on Chinese media.
Right. So, you know, the list of first-tier cities, as you had said, Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou, Shenzhen, I think for most people outside of China, they'd be, of course, Beijing, Shanghai. Those we know are megacities, first-tiers. I think Guangzhou and Shenzhen may be a little less known, but I would say especially Shenzhen because I think that's been a very recent, like, fast-growing city. But now you have these 15 new first-tier cities. You got 30 second-tier cities here in China, 70 third-tier cities, 90 fourth-tier cities, and then 129 fifth-tier cities. And according to the World City Population Report from 2016, there are 36 cities worldwide with a population larger than 10 million. And many second-tier cities here in China, we're calling them now, I guess, because of their fast development, the new first-tier cities are the big ones with a population more than 10 million. So I think that's also being another reason why we're saying these are becoming new first-tier cities is because maybe the population, 10 million, that's a lot for any city worldwide. Maybe not necessarily compared, you know, to the mega cities here, but still. So you have these what were considered second-tier cities. They're developing very fast, and their population is more than 10 million. So I think now there's this, they want to call them the new first-tier cities. And, you know, also, according to a recent survey conducted by China Youth Daily, the number of college graduates who have found jobs in the new first-tier cities is equal to that in Beijing. So not just is it a big population in these new first-tier cities, but you're also seeing, you know, college graduates going there. It's a fast-developing city. And so, without further ado, here are some of these cities. Hangzhou is one of them. Chengdu, Wuhan, Nanjing, Qingdao. There's quite a few here. So I think it's exciting. I actually really like quite a few of these cities. Hangzhou, I'm a huge fan. Nanjing, I love it. So I think it's cool that maybe other cities get to join the ranks of being called first tier.
Yeah, but they still have the new word attached in front of them. And then I think that's also the sort of a nickname, maybe, that has been given to these cities by the Chinese media and not the official administrative ranking that's been given to these cities. But I do think that you guys make a very good point in seeing that there's huge growth, rapid development in these cities. And when cities develop like that, they need talent, and they need young people to come in to work, to settle down, buy house, consume, and all those economic activity is important to the thriving of a city. So now let's talk about how are these so-called new first-tier cities luring young graduates?
Ooh, those cities are trying hard to compete with each other. Actually, this year about 7.5 million graduates rush into society as graduation season comes. So one, Beijing and Shanghai, these kind of first-tier cities, they're tightening up resident requirements. But second-tier cities, where we call the new first-tier cities, they provide all kinds of special policies to retain those millions of graduates and encourage their employment and entrepreneurship in those places. For example, Wuhan, Changsha, Xi'an, and Chengdu, they have been continuously like bumping the Chinese media in the recent week about their future investment. For example, the policy major was about allowing those granting of household registration or hukou in Chinese before employment. And like Wuhan and Xi'an also have lowered their requirements for resident registration to the lowest level ever among provincial capitals. Hukou is really important in today's China, right? It's linked with Chinese people's health insurance, and there are all kinds of benefits where your kids can go to school. So according to policy in Changsha, this place, they even provide the rewards for fresh graduates in addition to zero requirements for hukou. It says that it will provide the new graduates registered in it with rental and housing subsidies based on their degrees. For example, graduates with doctor, master, and bachelor degrees can get 15K, 10K, and 6K RMB as rental allowance, respectively. And for those who buy their first homes, 60K and 30K RMB will be given as housing allowance to PhD graduates and the postgraduate, respectively. So besides hukou, subsidy on allowance of housing are also provided. Very attractive.
Yeah, I think these are the primary concerns for young workers, I guess. First of all, how is hukou going to be taken care of? You know, because that has a lot to do with medical, and also even if one day when you have kids, it's tied with the schools that your kid can go to, and also just giving out pretty much cash rewards for housing, and even providing housing. So giving you pretty much like dorms, places for you to stay at when you are pursuing your job in one city. And it seems like Nanjing and Chengdu, they're providing talent apartments. So, well, it says in the name what they're doing. And in Changsha and in Chengdu, they also announced that outside graduates can check into Young Youth Hotel for free for 7 days as they're looking for their jobs. I guess these places are pretty desperate or very eager to try to get these young talent into the city. So what are the first cities doing here then? Are first cities losing or deciding to make that decision to not be so active in snatching up young talent?
Well, by reading those story on the Chinese media, I'm thinking about this question. Are these first tier cities trying to lose talents because they provide fewer hukou opportunities for non-local talents in Beijing and Shanghai? The quota for people from those places to register their household in Beijing has been decreasing since 2014, and the whole city only provide Beijing household for about 9,000 college graduates in 2015, and number in 2016 further reduced. The number for this year, 2017, has yet to be released, but the Beijing municipal government indicated that there will be quite stringent on issuing new Beijing hukou for graduates, and the number for this year won't be higher than 9,000 people. Those people will be lucky enough to come into Beijing. And Shanghai is doing the similar thing. But Shenzhen is, on the other hand, is keeping the talent policy. According to one of the districts called Baoshan in Shenzhen, the top-level talents can receive as much as 12 million yuan awarding subsidy, and also they provide Shenzhen hukou if they think you are the qualified talents.
Yeah, Liu Mian, what you're saying sounds like all these first-tier cities aren't as eager to try to get new people in, or at least not the young, fresh graduates, as they are being churned out in almost mass production these days, as it's understandable that the first-tier cities are expanding very fast, and in a way, maybe they want to put a cap on how fast the population is growing. And they're not short of talent. They can attract people that always want to go to these top tier cities with mega chances, as people say. Well, Ryan, do you think that what these cities are offering is going to be meeting what talents want?
No, not really.
Oh no, why is that?
I just feel like this is too, it's just a little bit too much. You know, okay, so first of all, obviously these big mega cities, Shanghai, Beijing, Guangzhou, Shenzhen, I mean, you know, Liu Min had said the huge contribution, how much farther they are in the way of GDP contribution and population contribution here in China. There needs to be balance. So I think that's what is trying to happen here. But because if you don't have balance, you're just going to have these hubs that is your whole country, that is where everything is, and then the rest of the country will just be so either far behind or have their problems of lack of infrastructure, lack of industry. Nobody's going to want to live there, right? So then you have basically just these, you know, points on in a country, cities in a country that are so flooded and have so many people because it's where modern life is here in China. So I think this is a good idea. I like where it's going. You need to spread out your talent. That's where I think sustainability will come into play, obviously. But, you know, young people aren't just, I mean, I don't know. Here in China, I know it's a big deal for people to get a house real quick. You know, it's like, get a house. It's one of the big investments you make in your life, and people definitely feel the need to do so. I don't necessarily have ever really say I have had that feeling. But I think what these cities will need to provide, in addition to, you know, housing subsidies or talent apartments or these kind of things, is an infrastructure that suits young people. Movie theaters, things to do, places to shop, this kind of thing. You know, life is more than just sleeping, eating, and working. And I don't think people are necessarily going to be attracted to a place that has all basically rolling out the red carpet to a city that has like no nightlife, no infrastructure, nothing to really do other than just work and eat and stuff like that. You know, I think the modern graduate right now has dreams of enjoying their youth as well as working and this kind of thing. I don't know necessarily if that's maybe the Chinese perspective. I think so, because I've met quite a few young Chinese college students that seem to also have a thirst for life and experiences and doing stuff and shopping and getting the latest cool gadgets for what they're interested in. And, you know, I think that's where a city maybe like, you know, Nanjing and Chengdu, Changsha, though they are really doing well and rolling out this red carpet and saying, hey, guys, look, you can get a place, you can make this big investment in your life. We're investing in, you know, the jobs here. We're trying to get you guys over here. You also need to make it so that they can have you know, a personal life outside of work there.
And also, at the same time, people also look at the better job opportunities and also the better, career development trend. Yeah. On a kind of a certain platform. For example, Changsha, we know Hunan TV is super good in the recreational TV station. And also, they have very good development in the entertainment industry. But at the same time, there are lack of development in internet and science and technology. So some talents are reluctant to go to the cities like that. So in order to further develop, they have to attract all kinds of talents at the same time.
I wouldn't say they're necessarily reluctant. I think actually you'll find maybe a lot of talented people want to, there's, you know, the people are different, right? And there's people like me that actually, you know, I love Beijing so much. It's a great city. But I also really do appreciate like a city like Hangzhou that has a very chill atmosphere where it's not so go, go, go. Because, you know, these big mega cities, everybody's trying to do everything at once. At the same time, you got that rush hour. You know, it's a big city, fast-paced environment. And I think for some people, you know, maybe they are talented professionals, but they would rather live in a more relaxed kind of city. Maybe like I said, like Hangzhou, and experience maybe a lifestyle that's not that mega city lifestyle. Though it sounds like maybe Hangzhou is on the path to become that.
Yeah, I think actually these days for these so-called new first-tier cities, as you guys have listed out, Hangzhou is one example, Changsha another, Chengdu, and these cities, they are not that much different, I feel, than first-tier cities anymore in terms of development or very colorful nightlife, those kind of things. But certainly, I think, Ryan, one thing you definitely got it right is that these cities are not as stressful, maybe, as Beijing, Shanghai seem to present itself as to the world.
And they're amazing cities. Like, well, you know, I haven't been to all of them, but like, let's say on this list here, Hangzhou and Nanjing, like two of my most favorite cities in China. And it's so awesome that they're developing and becoming this hub for exciting things that are happening here in China, because, you know, they have this beauty, they have this culture that is specific to them, you know. Going to Hangzhou and then maybe taking a trip over to Suzhou and all this cool stuff that in this area of China that is very different, I would say, from other areas. And, you know, it's cool to see other cities that have their own culture, that have their own beauty about them, rise up and become known in China, and, you know, and will be known around the world. And people that come visit here will be like, oh, Hangzhou. Yeah, Hangzhou's a first-tier city. It's really great for X, Y, and Z. You know, they've got this thriving industry going on. Also, you know, they have that beautiful lake. You got to check it out. This kind of thing. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, exactly. And besides what Ryan has just said, I've been focusing on some of the trends recently in Chinese history. In the past few years, there was a kind of trend that all the graduates would choose first-tier cities to work because job opportunities, all kinds of opportunities. But later they found a huge pressure here and very high skyrocketing housing prices. And then they rush back to their hometown. And then they think, okay, it's lack of infrastructure and job opportunity. They can't, for example, like an animation artist, they can't find a certain company to work in. Then they come back to the first-tier cities. That's the second trend. And the third trend is now. What's happening now is some of them still choose to go to first-tier cities. Some of them go to the new first-tier cities in China.
Yeah. You know, looking at this initiative, I think it's great to help these cities realize their potential, what they want to do, where they want to go. They want to attract these talents. I don't necessarily think that, you know, I think actually a lot of the talents will be attracted to a slower-paced life that these cities have to offer, but at the same time, that maybe isn't the direction they're going. So in the fact that they're offering, you know, great benefits with housing and hukous to try to get young college graduates, young talent to kind of grow with the city, I think that's great. But I think they also need to realize in this initiative that these are young people, and young people like their froyos. They like to go bowling. They like movie theaters. They like, you know, arcades. I don't know what young people are into. I used to be young. But anyways.
You're still young. Yeah.
But, you know, so I would say with all these great initiatives, I think it's awesome. I hope these cities do realize their potential. But don't forget that there's a livelihood that these young people like to live, and that infrastructure should be provided. And I think then it'll be full circle.
Yes, and once you have the people, the talent in the city,
Yeah.
not only will they work, they're also contributing to consumption.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And especially when it's young people that want entertainment, as they grow older, they want to start a family.
Yeah.
And I just hear business opportunities going ching-ching here. So I can totally understand why these cities are trying very hard to get young blood in. That is how cities grow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would go to Hangzhou if they didn't have a shoe store, you know what I mean?
Certainly wouldn't go if there isn't a shoe store, but I know Hangzhou is filled with...
Yeah,
yes, absolutely. Yeah.